sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Siblings in Christ, grace to you and peace from God who calls us, challenges us, heals us, and raises us from the dead. Amen. Jesus is up to those four things today. Calling, challenging, healing, and raising from the dead. He calls Matthew and all of us sinners, all of us advantage takers. That's what tax collectors in that day were really about. Jesus challenges us, challenges his holier-than-thou critics who scoff and judge the company that Jesus keeps, the mercy that he extends to them. Jesus heals us, heals the woman who's been hemorrhaging, losing blood for 12 long years, losing life. And Jesus raises the leader of the synagogue's daughter from the dead. Grace to you and peace from that God. Amen. I'm thinking about those four major actions from today's gospel in the context of Pride Month today and my own evolution regarding the LGBTQIA plus community, especially in the earlier years of my life, my own evolution. I'm nervous, but willing to share a bit about that today. I struggle with talking too much about myself in sermons. Let me just start by saying that out front, because it runs that risk of making it all about me and not about God's goodness, grace, and healing, right? If you talk too much about yourself, you get in the way. But sometimes I trust that our own personal stories, our own testimonies, our own experiences are what most authentically point to this God whose name is love. So, you know, you'll have to be the judge here. My story here starts in Texas with Dan in high school, Catholic all-boys high school. That was the culture. It was a Bible Belt culture all around, you know, in Texas. And by that, I mean literal and unquestioning understanding of scriptures. Meanwhile, in the midst of that, I'm this proud, even arrogant Lutheran. Lutherans were the best, I thought. And, you know, had these Missouri Synod roots and sort of understood what grace and was able to articulate that in the context of my Catholic and also Bible Belt culture. And, you know, in addition, had confident heterosexual male-dominated environment all around and lots of male role models about what a man should be and what and look like and everything. White upper middle class privilege. Power, private school comfort, luxuries I didn't even realize until years later. It's how privilege works, right? You don't even realize what you enjoy. I even complained about what I didn't have at times. I'd like to think I was a pretty nice kid, actually, but, well, you be the judge. So junior year of high school, I had an exchange once with a male friend from church, actually, who I felt was making a verbal pass at me and who had a rainbow, an American flag with the rainbow colors instead of the red and white, a rainbow American flag hanging in his room. And I remember after that encounter, after that experience, I remember going back to a girlfriend of mine at the time and telling her about that. And just being so fired up, so angry, so self-righteous, so passionate, and concluding, as she's actually trying to calm me down, I remember, concluding, you know, I don't care how bad this sounds, I barked. Then I went on to actually use the word hate to refer to people like Steve. I was so full of myself. I was so sure. And frankly, there were no consequences back then for that kind of talk. Those kinds of words, and I used the words. I laughed at the jokes that would have gotten you canceled today. Nobody challenged me or offered alternative perspectives, different ways of thinking or looking at it. In fact, the opposite, right? Just friends to laugh along with me as I told those kinds of stories, and we made all the jokes, including in the church, by the way. All kinds of support for alienating and excluding, or at the very least, just ignoring our LGBTQIA plus siblings, pretending that they're not there, and if they are there, treating them like an anomaly or steering clear in our privilege and ignorance. I am sorry if this is triggering or if I have disappointed you with this confession. I never really do speak of it publicly, vulnerably, in a need of grace. But I prayed about it a lot this week, and I decided to share. And as I read this text, this Pride Month in particular, I see myself paralleled with Matthew the sinner, and with the self-righteous Pharisees, and with the hemorrhaging woman. That is, with her 12 years. I was a few more than 12 years old. 12 years, though, of losing lifeblood. That is, I was sick and hurting and losing something, and I know now insecure. And I now see that hating person I was then. I wouldn't say hateful, but I would say hating person I was then. As a certain kind of dead. You know? My adolescent sureness was as stiff as a corpse. I too am laid out in need of Christ's grace and life-giving touch. In need of Jesus to announce that I am not actually dead, but only sleeping, and then take me by the hand and pull me out of that place. Do you have stories like this? Times in your life, perspectives and certainties that are as true and as set as death itself? Have you said things that are as wicked as manipulative Matthew? Or as mean as the pompous Pharisees? Have you ever hemorrhaged life energy as much as that woman, even as you hurt others? Have you ever been so frozen in your certainty and self-righteousness you're as good as dead? Others are calling Jesus to come and lift you up. So much pain in this text, right? Can you feel compassion for each of these hurting characters? Each one of them. Can you feel compassion even for young me, even through the disgust or the disappointment? We all need Jesus. And here's what Jesus does. He calls Matthew out of his advantage-taking ways. He challenges the arrogant and the set Pharisees. He heals the woman right in the middle of so many other things going on. Chaos, multiple plot lines. You notice that? The piece on the hemorrhaging woman, it's almost like an interruption in the story. I mean, we've already heard about Matthew and the Pharisees, and then the synagogue leader comes and asks Jesus to come. And then right in the middle, as Jesus is on his way to go heal this dead daughter, then this woman touches his garment. It's like this interruption, right in the middle of so many things going on in the chaos. I mean, I think that's really relatable. Right in the middle of such busyness in our lives, in our world, Jesus stops and turns and sees her. He really sees her. And then he speaks to her And Matthew points out that's what heals her. It's not the touching of the garment like maybe in the Gospel of Mark. In the Gospel of Matthew, it's the word of Jesus that heals her. He speaks a word of mercy and gut-flipping compassion. That word splagitzomai in the Greek for compassion, I love that. It literally means like the stomach does somersaults. Splagitzomai, isn't it a great word? The compassion of Jesus, his stomach is doing somersaults. He sees her and he heals her. He heals her from that deadly drain of life, that slow drip drain. He heals that. And just in case we still don't get it, what this Jesus is about, he raises the girl who was dead. This God finds us in our short-sightedness, in our short-temperedness, in our brokenness, in our judgmentalness, in our compassionlessness, in our sadness, in our lostness, in our deadness. This God finds us, reaches out to us, and says, take heart, get up, be merciful, come and follow me. It wasn't too late for me at age 18. Thanks be to God. And I've told other stories about this kind of happening to friends who are in their late 70s. Wasn't too late. It's never too late. So in my first year of college then, fast forward from those early years, 17, 18 years old, about a year and a half after that, after I said some terrible things, I start hearing stories I've never heard about the struggles of the LGBTQIA family. I started meeting new people. God sent stories and new friends my way, you see. Some friends who were gay. I also started studying scripture more deeply and thinking more critically about theology in ways that challenged my adolescent Pharisaic certainties. God sent professors in religion and science my way, some who were gay. God sent opportunities to take action my way. Only a year or so into college, and I was engaged in protests against hatred and discrimination. I was heavily involved in ministries that welcome all. And I don't have to tell you that things were much different in the late 90s than they are today. A few years after that, 2005, I was at the ELCA National Churchwide Assembly in Orlando as a protester, crossing ropes, possibly facing arrest on the Churchwide Assembly floor over the fact that the church still hadn't opened the doors fully to our LGBTQIA plus siblings. I was kind of putting my career, at that time it felt like I was kind of putting my career on the line to take that stand, to take that action. Friends, there's all kinds of brokenness and sin in my life. It feels a little like I'm tooting my horn here. Look how far I've come. This is not to say I get it now. So much more growth and learning is before me. So much more awareness and sensitivity work that I need to do. So much more. But I am proud to share that God has called me through all those experiences, that God has challenged me, that God has healed me, and I'd go so far as to say that God has raised me from the dead when it comes to, let's just say, how I engage and celebrate this Pride Month. And the fact that our children, Micah and Katie, so many young people, in fact, are teaching me about being more loving, equitable, sensitive, inclusive is a testament to my resurrection. God reaches out, heals, and lifts you up too, friends. Maybe not in the same way as me. Maybe other things have you hemorrhaging life. Maybe other things have you at times speaking and acting in cruel, advantage-taking, short-sighted, judgmental ways. Maybe a different death has crept into your soul. Other demons have pressed you down, held you back. But can you hear God's call this morning? Are stories and people coming your way? Can you feel God's healing touch this day? God's mercy and forgiveness is there for you. And thank God for me, raising us up, bringing us back, and sending us out. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.